Rick, I would imagine, I mean, this feels like a silly question. We're all rooting for the Leafs. You would be more than happy, I'd imagine, for Austin to eventually break your single season goal record. And can you believe that it's pretty much 40 years now that you will have held that record?
Oh, Scotty, don't remind me it's been that long. Gosh.
Hey, it's all 40 years further along for everybody, Ricky.
Yeah, I know, but I just turned 61, so it's good. Anyway, no, you know, it's, like I said before, I felt bad for him that he didn't get the opportunity to try and do it this year by the regular season being taken away from him. With 12 games left, needing, what, 6 to tie or 7 to tie and 8 to break, I was, you know, hoping that he was going to do it. It would have been cool to hopefully be there and congratulate him. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen this year.
Did you get a chance to talk to him at all? I know you do a lot of the alumni events. Did you ever cross paths with him and say, hey, keep it up, or hey, watch it, or you're kind of, I think you're on track to do it this year?
Yeah, it was at the Blue and White dinner, actually, and we were actually sitting right beside each other almost, and I said to him, I said, so you're going to do it, and you're going to break it? And he said, well, the goal mark. And he said, well, what is it, 55? I said, no, 54. You need 55. And he said, boy, I got a lot of work to do. And I said, hey, you'll do it. I said, I said, don't think about it. Just go out and play your game and don't think about 54 or 55. Just go do it. And I said, I'm pretty sure you're going to do it.
With Rick Vive, the Maple Leafs single season goal scoring record holder, 54 still stands up from the 1981-1982 season. He's with us on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What do you make, Rick, of the NHL's proposal for a return? I mean, shelving the COVID-related stuff, and we've got to trust that all best efforts will be put forth to keep everyone healthy. From a layout perspective, do you like the play-in? And do you like the fact that the play-in extends as high up as the fifth seed in both conferences?
Yeah, I actually kind of do. I mean, you know, because if you look at the standings, everything was shut down, I mean, there was teams with 12 games, 8 games, 9 games left. It was so close for those last two wild card spots. I mean, it could have been any of 5 teams in each conference probably. So I think it's only fair that if they're not going to play any more regular season games, then, you know, expand the playoffs and do what they're doing now. I think the unfortunate thing is that some of the teams that probably, you know, they were going to be higher in the standings, they're going to have to play a play-in round, and especially a team like Toronto, who likely would have, you know, there's a chance they could have finished second in their division, likely would have been third, but still probably would have been in the top 4 or 5 of the Eastern Conference, and unfortunately, they got to play one of those play-in rounds against a dangerous Columbus team.
There's a lot of talk right now that the integrity is kind of, that was the big question, right? How can the NHL return keep the integrity intact with awarding a Stanley Cup? Are you okay with, the play-in round and then going to a best of 5 and then obviously the best of 7s the rest of the way?
Well, I am, but I think there's got to be probably an asterisk beside it. Obviously, it's not anything that we've seen before. The regular season wasn't completed, and now you're adding more teams to the playoff pool. I think there'd be maybe not an asterisk, but just the fact that, you know, it isn't quite what it normally is because, like I said, they didn't finish the regular season. That was going to be a grind right to the end, and then they had to go into a 4-round best of 7, and we all know, well, at least you and I know, Ziggy, how hard that is and what it does to your body. So I think there's going to be something that is different about it.
Don't forget, Rick, I have good knowledge of how difficult it is, too, in the sense that I would have never have been able to do it. There would have been absolutely no chance I couldn't even get my brain to consider it, let alone actually try the physical act. We're with Rick Vive.
Back when I played, the way the game was played, after one series, you were banged up and you were sore.
That's right. Yeah, the game was so different back then. Rick Vive with us. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So you touched very quickly there on Columbus as the Maple Leafs opponent. And just the most basic stats level, Rick, the Leafs have 238 goals for and 227 allowed. Columbus has 184 and 187 against. So the Leafs have scored 58, and both teams have played 70 games, so they're equal on that front. The Leafs have scored 58 more goals and allowed 40 more goals than Columbus. That gives us a general sense of what both teams are about on the ice. Do you, given it all, the fact there will be a bit of a rush training camp and then we'll be right into this play-in round and you got to win 3 out of 5, do you think that one style of play holds an advantage over the other?
I'd flip a coin, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I think it's going to be 5 games. But it's not like other years where, like I say, the rigors of going through the finishing the regular season and into the playoffs, and you play a best of 7. I mean, this is a best of 5. You do have one of the highest scoring teams against the third best defensive team in the league. So that kind of balances out. And now we always say that defense wins in the playoffs, which it normally does. The best defensive teams, they win the Stanley Cup. And being the third best defensive team gives Columbus a little bit of an edge that way. But can they shut down the powerful offense of Toronto? And I guess that's the question. The big question is, can they do that with two fairly inexperienced goaltenders?
If players have families and are somewhat hesitant to, say, bring their spouse and 2 or 3 kids or whatever it is they may have to a hub city and hold those family members up in the hotel alongside them, is there or should there be some kind of allowance or forgiveness for hesitations on that front? Like, could you imagine, as a former player yourself, could you imagine being in this situation? Or is it just snap of the finger obvious, honey, we're moving to Columbus for 2.5 months and we're living in the Marriott and we just got to go and do it?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure exactly how I feel about that. I mean, I went through it. I got traded a couple of times and didn't see my family for 2 months. And yeah, it was very difficult, but you know, you get through it because you got your job. You go out and play hockey each and every day, and I'm sure a lot of the players are probably thinking that way. I mean, you know, don't forget they've just been with their families for the past 2.5 months during this lockdown, basically, and so they've spent a lot of time with them. So I don't know. I would say, you know, just go yourself, leave your family at home. They're going to be taking, you know, they're okay at home. They're safe. And you can concentrate on what you need to do, and that's go out and be the best player you can be.
Now that the playoffs are being pushed back, which is looking like into August, and if not the Stanley Cup Finals into September, next season's looking like November, December, or even a January start. Would you be okay with something like that where the following season gets condensed and even pushed into the summer again? Or is this something where, you know, if you're part of the union, you kind of say, well, hey, hold on a second. We're supposed to be playing September to June, and this is what we've always been doing. But now all of a sudden we're delaying the start of next season, and probably it's going to affect even 2 or 3 seasons down the line.
Well, for $11 million a year, I'd do it in a heartbeat. but we didn't make that much. But, you know, it's going to kind of screw everything off. But I think if they do that, it's going to be a very condensed schedule next year. And it's going to be a little bit tough on the players. Now, the playoff, everything will go a little bit longer. And the Stanley Cup, instead of being awarded in June, will probably be maybe early July, something like that. I think that gives the players enough time to get back and start what they regularly start at the following year. So I'm not seeing a big problem with it. Like I said, if you're making that much, Joe, baby, get out there and play.
With Rick Vive on leadoff. One of the first names, Rick, that came to my mind last week when Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnston, and others started to report on this format, the 24 teams, the play-in, et cetera, being a real possibility was Carey Price. The fact that the Montreal Canadiens are going to be a part of this as the 12th and bottom seed in the Eastern Conference, and they will take on Pittsburgh, the 5 seed, in this 5-game play-in series. You know, Carey signed the massive contract a couple of years ago. The Canadiens have been a middling team for a really long time. Carey is north of 30 with a ton of years left on that deal. And if he gets in there and stands on his head, the narrative around him isn't necessarily fair. He's been one of, if not the best goaltender in the NHL for a decade now. But if he actually gets in there and stands on his head for a series or two and Montreal goes on a run, I think that someone like Carey Price, in terms of an individual narrative, stands to gain a lot. Do you see what I'm saying? And are there other names? Are there other guys who could, whose I guess, reputations get an enhancement through this play-in process?
Well, I think there's several guys. Carey Price is a great example because they're a team that wasn't technically in the top 16 and got put in because of the 24, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, the season wasn't finished. They were close. They were, there was four teams in each conference that could have gotten in the two last wild card spots. So I don't have a problem with what they're doing, but a guy like Carey Price, yeah, I mean, you're right. He's been kind of up and down for a while, and if he ever got in there and stood on his head and took Montreal past one, two, even three rounds or something, you know, he'd be reviving his, no pun intended, his career, I would think.
You hanging in through all of this? You keeping busy or as busy as you can?
I certainly am. I'm golfing every day now, and the golf course is open, so it gives me a little bit of getting out of the house. And but everything's been good. My son's been home with us from Cincinnati since they shut down around the same time, and he's a great cook, so I don't have to do anything, not that I do a whole lot anyway. And he's also helping with some projects around the house, and so it's been a lot of fun having him around.
What's the handicap at these days?
Yeah, been up a little bit, I think, since we started. I would say probably up to about a 6 now.
That's still okay.
Still pretty good. Still pretty good.
Yeah, I can hold my own. I can win a few bucks here and there.